right? That there is a purpose of our church. The purpose of us coming here is to make disciples with the message that we have last week. That's the main purpose. So about this, making disciples who makes disciples. We become disciple maker. After being a disciple, we grow to become disciple maker so that the process continues. And only Jesus' disciple makes disciple who makes disciple of Jesus Christ. Nobody else can produce, can make disciple except the disciple of Jesus Christ. After he left with 11 of them, and those 11 starts and to snowball until today, there are Christians everywhere because disciple of Jesus Christ continue his mandate, continue to carry out this major thrust. And from the verses that we read, you realize that surely I'm with you always. That part is very important. That he has the authority, that's the first message, his authority. All right? And we must abide in him to have that authority, his authority with us. His authority, and by our abiding with him, we go and carry out this mission. That you and I must be abiding in Jesus Christ. That's how Jesus Christ related to his 12 apostles. You read Mark 3, verse 14, Mark 3, 14. He said that he chose 12 so that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. They might be with him. They might be with him first. You and I must be with Jesus Christ first. Then he sent us out to preach. Then we go out to minister. Service comes after we have a good relationship with Jesus Christ. That must be that abiding, that togetherness, that relationship with Jesus Christ. Then we will be effective going out to proclaim the word of God. So only us, his disciples, who faithfully follow him, can be good disciple makers. But today, what is the main objective of the Great Commission? Today's message. What is the main objective of the Great Commission? Remember, this message is either you follow the Great Commission correctly or there will be a lot of omission. There's some misconception about the Great Commission. Right? And so if you think of the objective, some people say, well, the objective is to go. The Bible, the three verses, verse 19 says, go, therefore go. Say that go is so important, we must go. So people go on mission field, people go and evangelize, bring people to Jesus Christ, because that's the main focus. In fact, this morning, the message is about going, about the call of God. So it's quite similar to the message this morning. He was the Pioneer International, is a mission sending church, parent group. So the assistant director came to encourage the people to go to mission, to get involved in mission, to just go. Because the world are full of people without Jesus Christ. So we thought, let's go and evangelize, let's bring them to Jesus Christ. So we go to the street, we go to countries, and that's what we want. We want to see people being converted. We want to see numbers of people saying, I accept Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. And so we said, we must go. But unfortunately, we realize that a lot of times we go and then we evangelize, we say, this number of people will come, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and personal Savior. You go back to the same village. 1 year later, you'll see that the church is still half dead, and the people say they are not Jesus Christ. You need to evangelize them again. And somebody says that you go to Ethiopia. Ethiopia has been evangelized more than 10 times. The whole country has been evangelized more than 10 times. Because people just keep on generating numbers of conversion. So if go is the main emphasis, then we miss the thrust of the Great Commission. All people say, well, the next one, baptize. Baptize to do with, well, let's increase the membership of the church. All right, let's increase the membership. Let's get more people baptized, become member of the church, so the church become large and big and mega. So we have to continue to baptize. Whether the person really have faith, whether have the conversion experience, whether born again, doesn't matter. As long as they say, I want to be baptized, we baptize them. Right? We dump them into the water, they are member of the church. And that's what we want to do. Right? But then, they are very passive. They don't really actually involved in ministry of the church. They are not growing in Jesus Christ. There's no transformation of life. They just experience maybe conversion, but they are not really disciples of Jesus Christ. What's the difference between converts and disciples? I believe a convert is one who changed religion but never changed the master. He may be one convert, maybe the one who follow after a new ritual, but never follow after a new way of life. Someone who, a convert maybe is one who really are interested in his conversion. He talk a lot about his conversion, but not about his transformation. A disciple experience transformation. A new way of life, following after the new master. That's the disciple. That's what we want. That's what Jesus Christ is emphasizing. That now there is a revolution in your own life, a change towards a new direction, new master, new way of life, transformation of life. And that's more important than dumping a person in the water, baptize them, say membership, church grow. So I'm not saying these are not important. These are important. I want to encourage you to be baptized, but baptized with a real understanding why you are baptized, what is the purpose, what is the significance of baptism. Then go for the baptism. And you must be baptized because Jesus Christ commanded that all of us must be baptized. But don't get so caught up by just wanting to baptize, increase membership. It's not. Oh, he said, let's teach. We need to teach the people. We drive them to get to know the Word of God. And we teach and we teach. We have Sunday school. We have Bible study, small group, BSF. We have all kinds of corresponding course, all kinds to just increase the head knowledge of the truth of God's words. So we come to know about God, about Jesus Christ our Lord. But the person don't really know Jesus Christ personally. I have a friend, this week I WhatsApp with an email with my former boss from Baxter Healthcare, my former company. And he has so much knowledge about Jesus Christ. He's been to Alpha program. Alpha program is about 13 weeks or so. He went through the whole process. And he could debate a lot about Christianity. And last night one was science and religion must be separated. He has so much knowledge. And yet, he's still outside the kingdom of God. I told him, well, you know a lot about Christianity. It's very good to go and search and research. But you need to have that personal relationship. You need to come to know him. Not so much about knowing about him, knowing about his word. Without knowing Jesus Christ personally, having a relationship. So if we emphasize teaching, maybe we have missed it. These three are important. I'm not trying to discount them. But they are not the main objective of the Great Commission. So actually we must ask the question, what kind? What we want to make disciple? What kind of disciple are we making? Is it a disciple that go, that baptize or teaching them? Within these few verses, what is the key word? In relationship to our objective of making disciples. So I'm not trying to create, form my own words. Using these three verses, there's a word there that we must look at. And that's the key to making disciples. And that's the word obey. That we must make disciples that obey Jesus Christ. That's the key. It's just not make disciples, make a lot of disciples, make a lot of converts. A lot of disciples with a lot of head knowledge, all puffed up with knowledge, but no conversion, no transformation, no obedience, not following after Jesus Christ. Disciple follows. A disciple of Jesus Christ follows Jesus Christ. That means you must obey. Obedience is very key, is the key in disciple making. Therefore, what kind of disciple? Obedient disciples. That's our main objective of the Great Commission. So we want disciples to follow Jesus Christ, to be obedient to Jesus Christ. As a disciple maker, if you are following up on somebody, you are helping somebody, then it becomes your responsibility. The main responsibility of the Great Commission for us as disciple maker is to produce obedient people, disciples of Jesus Christ. That's the trust. That's what it is. So it becomes very simple. Every church, every believer, that's our responsibility. Make disciples who are obedient to Jesus Christ. So it becomes very simple. So we observe Good Friday, we observe Easter, we observe Christmas, the church is packed with people when these three events come. I don't know, sometimes we say, well, the Christians go to church maybe five times. When they are birth, right? They are born. Then when this three event comes, then date. Huh? When they are born, then this three other event, then doing a wedding, and then when they are dead. 6 times. That's the whole attention. But they don't observe this. But how about observing the precepts of the Bible, the principle of God's word? That is more important. And encouraging people to observe the word of God, obey the word of God, more important than observing these three other events of the Christian calendar. That's what we must do. So what's obedient? I did some research and I found that obedient means you must sit and hear. That came with these two words originally, sit and hear. So you must sit here, you must hear, and then we not sit under, you must be under, hearing and under. So while you are listening, and you are sitting below and a person is teaching you. So you are hearing what the master is teaching. So you are in a sense submissive to the master as you listen. That's what obedience is like, originally, in the Greek. So I don't want to use Greek because I say the Greek, man, I look malu because he's so smart in front of my pastor. All right? So it's listen. Pay attention to the word, to the truth, to what the master is teaching us. And then affirming, stand, and agree, in agreement with. It may not be according to what you understand, but because the master says so, then I believe it is so. Irrespective of whether we are in agreement, whether it's comfortable, uncomfortable, whatever it is. Sometimes what the master requires us to do, we may not like it, but a servant still follows. Because it's not our will, but his will be done. So you must hear, listen, learn, then agree to follow. There must be that following. There must be that movement in obedience. That's what is required from each one of us. Therefore, Christianity, in a sense, radical Christianity is not like what we have been teaching, preaching a lot about. It's just bringing a person to Jesus Christ. And then they become like an orphan. Nobody to look after, they don't go, they're just infant for life. Because there is no growth, no movement of their life towards Jesus Christ. So, bringing a person to Christ is very, very important. By faith, but there must be an evidence of that faith, and that's obedience. How do you know you are a Christian? The question is, how do you know a Christian? It's not because you say, I received Jesus Christ, my Lord and personal Savior. Yes, it's important, but there must be a transformation, a change within your life, a change of master, the new way of life, that's transformation. And how do you know? It's through the way you live your life, through your obedient work. Therefore, faith and works goes together. Faith works. It's a double meaning. Faith works. Double meaning. Faith is workable. You have faith, things can happen. But faith, therefore, you must go and work. You must do something to show that you are evident of faith. Faith works is the evidence of your faith. Not that you work in order to have faith. Faith is the evidence. At the same time, faith is workable. That double meaning. That's what we have. And therefore, and that's what James says. Not only hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And there are a few verses. Let me go through with you. Deuteronomy 4, this is what Moses told his people. Now Israel, hear the decree and law I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and taste and take possession of the land of God of your ancestor is giving you. You must follow them. Follow the decree. Obedient. 6:3. Hear Israel and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as His Lord, the God of your ancestor, promised you. God promised increase, and we will increase. But most important, it's not so much how are we going to increase. Now, worry about increasing. Worry about your obeying. We must worry about whether we are obeying or not. The increase will come, because He promised us. Okay, some more. Joshua 1:8. Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous, successful. Joshua. Oh, sorry. 5. Joshua 1:8. It's not, don't worry about prosperity messages. Don't worry about hell. Worry about where you're obeying and all. So we don't have to continue to pound people, remind people about hell and wealth. It's there. It's given to us. I also preach prosperity message, but this kind of prosperity message, true obedience. All right, so we don't give out prosperity message. This is prosperity message. Prosperity through Jesus Christ, obedience in Jesus Christ. Not through, you give more to the church, you'll be more prosperous. It's not that, it's obedience. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ, you are my friend if you do what I command. You are my friend if you do what I command. Which means that on the opposite side, if you don't do what I command, then you are not my friend. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching, my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home in them. If you obey my command, when you obey my teaching, that will stay with you. When your heart is far away from me, how can God be with you? So this is the promise. God will be with us if we obey His teaching. Then you experience Him. That He is there with you. Through obedience, not through disobedience. Romans. For just as through disobedience of one man, the many will make sinners. Also through the obedience of one man, many will be made righteous. Through obedience, righteousness comes. James, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Do what it says. That's the requirement. As Christians, we must do. Don't ignore work. Don't only preach faith. Works must be there. It's the work that shows that we are evidence of faith. Work is not just go and labor and be, sweat yourself out. No, it's just work means have that new lifestyle that God, following after the lifestyle Jesus Christ is telling us in His Word. It won't be burdensome. Sometimes you got work, work means hard work, burdensome. It's not. Actually, it's not. Try it. You'll realize that it's so easy because His Spirit is with us. The promise I am with you to help us through, and it become not so laborious. It's going to be easy because His strength is with us. And He's not trying to restrict us, take it away from the beautiful life that we have. This is it's prettier life. This is a better life. This is the abundant life. You want abundant life? That's what abundant life is about. Obedience, following after Jesus Christ. Follow the shepherd. And the shepherd will lead us to abundant life. not following after our own way, then we miss it. Faith by itself is not accomplished by action, it's dead. I'm going to preach this book in Indonesia this year. And this is a very practical, James, a very practical book. You want to know how to live a Christian life, go to the book of James. Obedience is the main objective of the Great Commission, that all of us must first be obedient to Jesus Christ. Then as obedient disciple maker, we can then go and help our disciples, Jesus Christ disciples, those we are mentoring, those we are following up on, those younger Christians, to become obedient disciples also. So everybody must recognize that we must live obedient life, to be obedient disciple of Jesus Christ. That's the call. That's a requirement. So the responsibility, therefore, that Jesus Christ, God gave to us, and I believe our gift to God is obedient. That's what Jesus Christ wants. It's not about sacrifice, it's about obedience. That's what Samuel told Saul, King Saul. God wants obedience, not sacrifice. So you must offer obedience as a gift to Jesus Christ. So our responsibility, our responsibility is to go. So go is not so much the main objective, is how to be able to achieve our objective of discipling someone to obey Jesus Christ. We must first gather the people. We must first go out to the world, engage the world, then evangelize them. That's the first step. Right now, maybe you don't, who am I going to disciple? Go to the world and find. Engage the world. Then evangelize them. Then you have someone to follow up on. Then baptize. What is baptize? Establish them. Strengthen them. So be a part of the family of God, so that they can get nourishment, support for each other. And that's why we need to come to a membership of a local body. To identify, basically baptism, identification. Identify with Jesus Christ, first and foremost. Identify with His people here on earth. That's what baptism is about, mainly. Identification. So you go for baptism, to identify, say, I want to be a part of this body, this local body. I want to identify with this local body. At the same time, I want to identify Jesus Christ, His life, death, and resurrection. Then I come to baptism. So I become strengthened. And I can also help others to be strengthened by being one local body. Then teach. Teach. Educate. Equip the people so they can then go out and continue the process. I believe that's what we are required to do. So in a sense, I believe that is the step of growth. As we make disciples, we want them to grow, and we recognize that all of us are different stages of growth. All right? We must go and make disciples. Those people who are without Jesus Christ are dead in Christ. Without Christ, they are dead. So you want to bring life to them. So you must go from the bring them to Christ so that they come over. One will become a Christian, they are just infant. All right, they need to be nurtured. They're going to be taken care of with tender love. Then they grow to be a child. Then maybe they can take some responsibility and give them some responsibility, guide them, direct them so that they become stronger and stronger. The child will be sometimes quite naughty. Child will have some self-will. We have to help them to manage, to mold them. The best period is when they are in childhood, we mold them. So in a sense, like growing a child. Right now, I'm just a grandfather, I can understand a little bit more. All right, even though I have two children of my own. All right, so it's different. Then you go to adulthood. Then you get more responsibility, more freedom. To go and do things, evangelize, bring people to Christ, whatever it is, that they are in a young adulthood. Some greater freedom. Then they become parents, they are able to help the whole process again to produce disciples. That doesn't mean, oh, I'm not parent yet, so I don't go and disciple others. No, it's just a rough guide of the process that you and I are going through in that book. This is from the book, all right, that we are studying. And this is a process of growth. And all of us need to see, where are we? Where am I in this process? If I'm still an infant, then I must try to grow to the next level. If I'm an adult, then maybe I'll be ready to go to parenthood to fulfill the objective that God has given to us, to lead others to obey Him. So it's what we are to be as a church of Jesus Christ, to align ourselves together to do this great work that God has given unto us. Jesus Christ left us with this responsibility. Nobody else can do the work, because only the disciple of Jesus Christ can do this work, which is you and me. All right? It doesn't mean that you have to bring them to this church. You want to help someone to follow after the Jesus Christ, that you don't want to come to church, it's okay. As long as the kingdom of God expands and extends. What is important is not so much of this church growing. What is important is that the kingdom of God expands and extends. It will be a benefit if they come here. But most importantly, if the kingdom, people come into the kingdom of God, first and foremost, then to a local body. And that's what we are trying to achieve as a church. So in summary, that's what the three messages that we have gone through this last 3 weeks. All right, the first one is the main focus. It's Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the center of all that we are doing. He directs what we do here. It's because of Him we are who we are. He is the reason for our being, for our doing. So He must take charge, take control. It's not how you want to live or how I want to live, how I want to do this, how I want to do that. It is determined by Jesus Christ. So the task before us, it's not determined by us. Oh, a lot of churches have a lot of statements, a lot of different aim, and finally, it's nothing to do with us. It's Jesus Christ. He said, your task is to make disciples. That's all we need to do. You can put other words. It doesn't matter how you describe your team, your mission statement, whatever it is, ultimately it must come back to disciple making. That's our objective. That's our goal. That's the destiny that we set as a church. And all of us must be involved. Whether here, locally, overseas, or the nation, need to come to know Jesus Christ and Lord and personal Savior. Some of us can be missionaries, go overseas. Some of us stay here at home. So be involved in disciple making and making sure that our objective, that they become, the quality of a disciple is determined by whether he obey or disobey God. That's what we are looking at. A disciple that obey God. That's the quality. You say, wow, yeah, the church produced disciple. What kind of quality do you have? The quality inspector come along in this church and say, wow, which one quality? And the quality, maybe majority of fear, even pastor fear. We must have that quality. And the quality is determined by obedience. And how to bring that person to obedience, our responsibility is to go, to teach, and to baptize. And that's the challenge that we have as a church. And this is the journey that we start. It should have been there, but we are not put it as the main thrust of the church. Now we put it as the main, and it ought to remain for a long, long time. This is who we are. But you go, what is Shalom Baptist Church about? Shalom Baptist Chapel is about making disciples, following the Master Jesus Christ. And the way we do it is to go to baptize and to teach. That's the challenge that we have. And we have a young, new, young pastor, not so new, he's not new, very vibrant, more energy than this current one. I believe he will take us to the next level. That this church needs to go on the next level. And our Reverend Dr. Ayan can help us to reach there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and commit ourselves to this important responsibility and objective. Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding us of the great responsibility that you have given to us to fulfill the objective of the Great Commission is to make disciples that follow after you, the disciples that are obedient, that take your word seriously and will allow your word to internalize within themselves so that, Father God, their life will be transformed by your spirit, and they will be known as children of God that are obedient. So I pray and ask, O God, that we as a church will continue to unite together, to align ourselves together, to have this one key desire, O God, to put Christ at the center of life, but everything we do, He will be the reason. And that, Father God, truly we will move forward to see, Father God, that even among ourselves, we will want to grow to be the obedient disciple and also helping others so that, Father God, each one of us, as we journey through life, we will become more devoted to Jesus Christ. Not only has our life has been transformed, that we become more and more like Christ, but we also be doing the work that Christ has given us to do. So, Spirit of Living God, even as your anointing is upon us, we pray that anointing will continue to enable us, energize us, empower us, so that truly we will claim the Great Commission of Matthew 28, 18 to 20 as the verse that will generate, excite us in the days ahead. For this, our prayer, desire in Jesus' name.